Hello, and welcome to the ISSB's inaugural podcast. My name's Sue Lloyd, and I'm the Vice Chair of the ISSB. And today, I'm really happy to be joined by our Chair, Emmanuel Faber. This is our first podcast, and so before we begin the discussion, I'm going to give a little bit of background to those listening to the podcast. So, as I'm sure you're aware, if you're listening to the podcast, the ISSB was announced by the IFRS Foundation at COP26 in November last year. And we're really thrilled to have maintained great momentum since that announcement, having published our two exposure drafts and also making great progress putting in place the institutional foundations for our future work. And it's a really big week for us at the ISSB this week, because for the first time, we held our board meeting here in the main office of the ISSB in Frankfurt with a quorum of board members, and really fantastic to get us together in person. So in the podcast today, we're going to talk about a few of the highlights from our board discussions this week, as well as perhaps touching on some of our expectations for the next few months. But before we get into that exciting technical detail, Emmanuel, what's been the highlight for you this week?
Thank you, Sue, and I have to say I'm really happy to be part also of this first podcast of ISSB and partnering with you, Sue. I know you've had this very fruitful experience at the IASB of such podcast, and I look forward to this dialogue with our stakeholders. Truly for me, this week has been about people. As you just said, it was an amazing feeling to finally meet with our colleagues on the board. The fact the board is quorate also relies on so many people, including the trustees of the foundation that have been and the nominating committee that have been so active in supporting us in populating our board. I was thrilled about the announcement that was made about Tae Yong Pike and Elizabeth Seeger joining us about a week ago when the announcement was made. And this week, you know, meeting with our colleagues from all over the world was really like a dream come true as we started that effort in parallel to so many other things to get our board up and running. I was also pleased that the trustees were able to confirm the further appointments, the four additional board members that we need to appoint to become to the full completion, with some specifics about where we are going to focus our efforts. So all of this for me is back to this point about people. Real people meeting for real discussions was, I think, one of these great achievements of this first board meeting. It's about people as well, because through the review of the agenda and then through the agenda, it was the first time that the staff of the foundation, the staff of the VRF, and now incorporated CDSB, were able to share publicly, basically, the incredible work that they have done under your supervision for many of them over the last 9 months, and for some of them even before. So, and again, the fact that the board first met and had that first contact with so many, actually, of the staff being here in presence in Frankfurt, others being in London and other places. We heard from people in San Francisco, in Colorado, and et cetera, I think was really just bringing the people reality of what we are doing, every day here. So, yeah, not only the board meetings, but the discussions over coffee, dinners, et cetera. I found really that this adventure is now starting.
Yes, feels very real after all the anticipation, and really fantastic to meet our new colleagues in person. So what was I was particularly proud of, working very closely with the technical team, was the fact that not only were we able to meet in person, but we were really able to start talking about technical issues, at our very first board meeting. And I'll take the opportunity to say a big thank you actually to all of the staff and others who have been involved in getting this all together for this meeting to occur this week. I can remember only a few months ago letting the staff know that we hoped that the first meeting would be in July, which was a little bit earlier than they had been planning for, and the look of shock on their faces. And I have to say that the quality of the papers that they pulled together this week is a real credit to them. They really stepped up. So thank you to the staff if you're listening to this podcast. Moving on to what we have been talking about this week. So what we have started with this week is the discussion on our two exposure drafts, which are still open for comment. But as Emmanuel was alluding to, we've really benefited from a huge amount of interest from our stakeholders. Thank you for those involved. And a really fantastic outreach effort by both the IFRS Foundation and the VRF Foundation, in fact, to support these exposure drafts. And what we discussed this week was the feedback so far in that outreach activity. And this is feedback from, I think they told us this morning, 32,000 people now been involved in this. And so what we heard about was some of the key messages that we're hearing so far, subject to what we see in the comment letters, of course, in the response to those two exposure drafts, the general requirements, S1, and the climate exposure draft, S2. So Emmanuel, fresh from the board table, what do you sort of bring away from the table as your main impressions about what we're hearing so far on these exposure drafts?
Yeah, thank you, Sue. And I would simply echo, first of all, what you just said about the quality of the papers that the board were able to work from, which in a way is just a legacy of the, I think, the quality of the EDs that were exposed.
That we published.
And that were published, yes.
By you and me.
Yeah. With the authorization of the due process of the site committee of the trustees. And I think that was, you know, at that time we were talking about why it was the right momentum to do that. We were also highlighting the very rich basis for conclusion and the very broad open question that we were asking. And I think in a way the dividends are now coming in the way the outreach was able to capture so many comments. The feel I have is that there is a lot of excitement about what has been put for exposure and consultation in both drafts, with angst that come with that as well. In particular, in I think fundamentally details, the level of details, the granularity, and the guidance that our participants would need from us. I think overall, I felt quite, I wasn't surprised in many ways, probably because also I participated with you and a number of others to these outreach, about the feedback that we received, of that feedback of alignment, of timeliness, of what we're doing, importance that, that what we're doing, but the need for education, guidance, support, phasing, transition, proportionality, progressivity, you know, all of this, simply because, unlike accounting, we're just creating a new language here. Yeah. And I think it was a call for us to pay attention how we can help people to walk that, you know, walk them into this way of using that new language. I don't know if that's also your impression.
Yeah. Very much the sort of idea of proportionality, which seems to have become one of the buzzwords that we hear as well. You know, what do we do to make sure that we really have something that's fit for global application, which is what we want, right? Not just for the big companies and developed markets, but for smaller companies and those in emerging economies as well. So I think that's something that, you know, the board's going to take very seriously, and it's going to be important for us to look at. And then, of course, very granular feedback on things like scope 3 emissions and the industry-based requirements and things like that. So really setting the scene, I think, today for a much deeper dive to come once we've had the benefit of the feedback from the comment letters.
Can I build on this, just to say something in addition to that? We also discussed during the board meeting the fact that This exercise of establishing the global baseline is not going to be done out of a vacuum. It's not just this independent board that is going to adopt and or propose and then, you know, for adoption, because that language I was talking about is being developed by many others in parallel. Whether that is actually jurisdictions, which I think the IFRS Foundation is acquainted with in terms of what the process it takes, et cetera, et cetera, but also other multilateral systemic bodies that will influence also the momentum and the substance of what we do. We were referring to the work in the banking industry that is currently being run with scenario analysis and stress testing the banking portfolios around the world. That's a real scale, you know, scenario analysis, TCFD aligned by a huge industry, which, by the way, on top of the equity and the investor focus that I think we tend to have in our vocabulary, is going to be more on the debt side of it, which is an even bigger capital market in and by itself. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because I think that that needs, and we mentioned that, that needs to inform the way the board forms its opinion on the cost and benefit of things. Because, and again, we're not alone operating here. We need to understand the optimal cost and the optimal benefit of how do we average, you know, and interoperate, find ways to interoperate all of these important languages that are being developed.
Yeah, we're really part of a much bigger ecosystem. You know, we can benefit from inputs from some, so others doing scenario analysis, for example, may be helpful for us to feed into what we're doing, but also many are relying on the information that would be produced as a result of our standards to do what they need to do, and so we're part of a big picture.
Yes, and I think the one of the things that I felt were, you know, was very important, that when this whole adventure started, at least for me, and in many ways, I guess, for you officially when you were appointed as vice chair, is the communication by the IFRS Foundation, and then that we used in the EDs, referring to primary users and then secondary users, and recognizing the legitimacy and the importance for us to also take into account the needs for policymakers and others. And I think that's part of the function of what I'm just saying here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So that was what we were talking about today. And actually yesterday in the very first session of the board, we were talking about something quite different, which is sort of looking forward, you know, after these exposure drafts, what will the board work on next? And this is a really important discussion, and it was just the first discussion, setting the scene, talking about, you know, how we might determine what should be put onto the agenda in the future, what criteria we should use to select that, and some ideas of what topics might be. So it wasn't a decision-making meeting, it was a preparation meeting, really, to give a steer guidance for the staff for future papers that will be decision-making papers. And this is just to give context for people of why we're talking about this now. One of the things that we committed to do on the establishment of the IESSB was to consult on our agenda priorities and get the view of our stakeholders informing this opinion. So we're getting ready to publish a document, hopefully before the end of the year, a request for information when you'll get to tell us what you think we should work on and why. And this was scene setting for that. So, Emmanuel, what did you take away from that initial discussion on, you know, the forward look on our agenda?
Yeah, well, thank you, Sue. And before I return that question to you, a few observations on my side. I love that conversation. In many ways, for me, it was much less familiar personally than the EDs, because we've read them and reread them and, you know, spoke about them, you know, for the last 3 months. And then, you know, it's only recently that the papers about agenda consultations were made available for our review. And I have, again, to thank, you know, the teams for the incredible job that was done there, because it triggered a conversation on two parallel connected, you know, topics. One was the substance and the other was the process. And I really love both of them. And of course, they are just the start of it. I think what I found interesting in the process, and I'm not going to, you know, put any name on them, etc. I mean, the papers are self-standing, I think, as such, about, you know, the number of issues that were covered on the substance. But I guess one of the aspects which I found interesting in that aspect was how much of those topics were going to be, no, put it this way, the granularity and the connection, the granularity with which we're looking at those, is social, or is it going to be five different building blocks, mm-hmm. for instance? Or by the way, is social partly linked to climate?
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot the list of additional topics that the team did that could just be follow-ups or related to the climate topics, and that's just transition, and that's water, and that mm-hmm. you know, scenario analysis, and that's yeah. you know, many others. And I think that's a really interesting angle because it will form also, in a way, a precedent for the way we are building our own agenda. Are we going to focus on enhancing something that we've been working on with additional enablers like climate? What do we bring in top of climate that is related to climate, mm-hmm. but that will allow the market to get to more disclosures related to that in order to better use the full you know, scope of what climate can mean for capital allocation? That's one angle, versus going for completely new things. And I think this discussion is entirely open, and yeah. I like that a lot. And the second was on the process side of things, the discussion we had on criteria again, and the rich discussion that was around this, you know, the starting with investor needs, and then the question of how acute the topics are for companies or not. And I would like to bring back what I said earlier, which is, well, the momentum of other things happening on this yeah. might actually be a criteria, just to make sure that, again, we're not looking at our agenda in a vacuum because yeah. many other pieces are there. But what's your
takeaway? Yes, well, I'm not going to talk about subjects in case people overread that. But I think what was really interesting for me was the way that I came out of the meeting thinking about the whole topic was totally different because of the conversation we had in the room. So I went in thinking about, you know, a list of potential topics. And I came out thinking much more about the context of our work and the environment that we're in, which is what, where you just finished. But also the discussion that we had at the board table about how do we think about what we do next, building from, for example, the climate document, but also our general requirements document, which already says report on all significant sustainability risks and opportunities. What's the next best way to build on that? And that was a different way of thinking to what I'd had when I went into the room, which is what's great about a board meeting, right? It makes you think differently. But the other thing I think I would just flag is another topic that came up is how much time should we actually spend thinking about ways to support people even just applying the first two documents as opposed to moving to new things, because that's going to be an important consideration for us. And I'd be very remiss as the former vice chair of the IASB if I didn't mention that part of what we were just talking about was the potential for topics where we might do some work in coordination with our sister board, the IASB. And so there were some topics in there, including management commentary, for example, which is something really important for us to think about as well. So that's my observations. And you wanted to add something?
Yes, please. Just talking about sister organizations, I wanted to make one comment about the SASB and the VRF consolidation.
Yes. They're not sisters.
Yeah, because the point for me is it was clear in this agenda consultation that there are lots that continues to be or start to be done about industry-based standard setting. We all know why we went through the VRF consolidation, the CDSB consolidation, but in particular the SASB metrics and disclosures about industry-based can be very powerful, including providing an entry level for SMEs and, you know, developing and emerging economies, for instance. That has to be, you know, further evidenced through conversations, consultations, discussions, et cetera, and market practice. But we know that there are market, you know, proven solutions. That the number of SASB users, I think, grew even in June by 100%, so it doubled year on year. So there is a momentum there. And we've made a commitment as the foundation to maintain, enhance, and continue that momentum on the SASB standards specifically. And I think that for me, the conversation and the board paper and the conversation we had is also an invitation in probably making a clear distinction between what is about the consolidation and making sure that we extract the value that we expect and that the trustees are expecting from the consolidation and the merger, by making sure that there is a living legacy and continuum on the SASB standards in one time versus the standard setting further work on internationalizing and bringing the SASB standards gradually over time into full-fledged ISSB standards. And I just wanted to say that because I think even this morning about the climate and the S1, we also had some industry-based discussions around the board, and I think the board will need to educate itself. You know, we've got some members coming from the VRF, but many others who are not. And this joint education and self-education of the board in the next several weeks and months, I think, on the role of industry-based as part of our in complement to the thematic approach, I think is going to be fundamental.
Yeah, and what will be really helpful to us there, of course, will be the depth of feedback I'm expecting that we're going to get on the industry-based proposals and the exposure drafts, which will really help inform our thinking as well.
Yep.
So that's going to be a really important combination. So with that, Emmanuel and I could talk all day about this, but you don't need a podcast that lasts all day, so I'll wrap it up there. So clearly we've got a lot of work to do. So I'm going to close the podcast with a couple of reminders so where you can help us, if that's all right. So the exposure drafts are still open for comment until the 29th of July. So I really encourage you to send us your thoughts if you haven't done so already. Also, we're encouraging our stakeholders to get engaged in other related consultations, the EFRAG one, for example, which is open for comment until the 8th of August. And for the latest developments from us at the ISSB, please do make sure that you subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website. And if you like this podcast, please do take time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. And with that, thanks for listening.